Welcome to Core Online. We are so incredibly excited that you are here with us this morning as we embark on part three of this series called Travel Light. No matter who you are or where you're watching from or listening from, we believe with all of our hearts that this morning you are not here by accident. You see, this entire series revolves around this journey we walk through in life and all the little journeys along the way. And in every single journey of our lives, this tendency we have to accumulate all sorts of unwanted baggage. It's the baggage of bitterness that we pick up. It's the baggage of discontentment. The baggage of our past. It's the baggage of control. And even the baggage of our distractions. And each of these extra pieces of baggage that we accumulate along every journey of our lives has this tendency to stress us out more, to wear us out more, and to make us feel even more overwhelmed during each holiday season of our lives. You see, each piece of baggage we accumulate only adds to the discontentment we feel for our lives. But what if I told you there was a way out? What if I told you it was possible to travel lighter? What if I told you that letting go of some of these things would actually pave the way for a better life and more contentment and lighter travels that made our lives, our marriages, our parenting, our finances better every journey along the way? But doing that requires us to buy into this truth that we have highlighted every week of this series. It forces us to acknowledge this truth that it is far better to have more of what does matter and less of what doesn't. And in recognizing that truth, what we so often overlook is this reality, that in order for us to hang on to something different, we must let go of what is already in our hands. That's logical, right? In order for us to grasp onto something different in our lives, we have to let go of what we're already holding on to. And for us to grasp onto more of what's important in our lives, it means we must let go of what is less important, what isn't so important when it comes to our marriage and our parenting and our finances and even our holiday seasons. Having the margin to do what matters most, it isn't some sort of magic trick. It doesn't just magically happen to people in this world who find a way to magically accumulate two more hours in every day. And they have the ability to do what matters most because they're living 26-hour days while the rest of us are living 24-hour days. It's not about that. It's about this conscious ability to figure out what matters most and what doesn't. And in light of that recognition, to make conscious choices around that. To recognize this matters most and this doesn't, and so I'm going to consciously let go of this and grasp on to this just a little bit more. And if there's ever an area of our lives where that is most relevant over the course of the next week, it is with our excess stuff. You see, if you're anything like me, don't our basements and our closets and our garages and even our toy rooms paint a pretty compelling picture of our tendency to accumulate? Every holiday season, we add more and we just shift all of our stuff to the storage spaces of our houses and the storage spaces of our lives. We add another piece to our wardrobe and we simply push further back into our closet the things we haven't worn for the last 3 years. We add another new toy, and the old one simply goes to the garage or to the crawl spaces of our basements. We keep pursuing more. And in this accumulation of more excess stuff in our lives, we keep believing that at some point, as we accumulate more, that the excess stuff will make us feel secure and safe and happy. And yet what we're forced to admit is this. Is that as we look over our full closets, our full basements, our full garages, our full toy rooms, we haven't reached the degree of happiness in which we desire. And we find ourselves wondering what gives. And what gives is that maybe we're pursuing something in our lives and accumulating something that never lives up to the promises. It's the very reason why one of the wisest men to ever walk on this earth, a guy by the name of King Solomon, as he looks at all of his excess stuff and the way in which he's lived for the entirety of his life and his kingship, he looks into the next generation, into his children's lives and his grandchildren's lives, and he passes on this warning. We find it in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It's where we're going to jump into this morning. In verse 6, King Solomon writes this, and it's a warning for you and I that rings true thousands of years later. He says, "For it is better to have one handful with quietness than two handfuls with hard work and chasing the wind." It's like King Solomon, in his infinite wisdom, looks into your life and my life, into your excess stuff and my excess stuff, into your ways of living and your pursuits and my ways of living and my pursuits. And he says, wait, you've missed it here. In your pursuit of all of this excess, you've missed the reality that your life could be so much more fulfilling, could be so much better if you recognized that having one handful of stuff with a little bit of margin will lead to a far better life than having two handfuls of stuff. And he uses this phrase, and chasing the wind. What's King Solomon talking about? That you're pursuing as much access as you can possibly hold in your life with your stuff. And as you pursue that, you are chasing something that always slips through your fingers. You are chasing something that never delivers on its promises, that always leaves you feeling just a degree short of the happiness you desire. And you want to talk about two of the wisest men to ever walk on this earth? Not only does King Solomon in his infinite wisdom pass on this warning to you and I, but this guy by the name of Jesus steps onto the pages of history, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And he looks into our lives in much the same way King Solomon does. And he looks into our pursuits and our tendency to accumulate all of this unwanted baggage and all of this excess stuff in our lives. And he passes on a similar piece of advice. We find it in the book of Luke chapter 12. Then he, meaning Jesus, said, "Beware. Guard against every kind of greed. For life is not measured by how much you own." It's like the Son of God looks into your life and my life. And he says, if you've missed this, your life will fall short of what I've designed you to experience, and your life will fall short of what you desire. Your life will not be measured by what you have or don't have. The amount of excess stuff you have, it doesn't elevate your stature as much as you think it does. The amount of stuff you have doesn't provide contentment in the way you hope it will. We miss the fact that every time we add a little bit more in our lives, a little bit more stuff, it just becomes another piece of baggage that we carry in front of us that stacks on top of all of the other baggage in our life, that eventually as we get more baggage and more excess stuff, that it just blocks our vision of what's most important. It blocks our vision of the things that can actually bring about contentment in our lives. And we miss the fact that what if the stuff you have is robbing you of the life you want? Hello. What if in our accumulation of excess stuff, what we have missed is that the stuff you have is actually robbing you of the life you want? That if you want to travel lighter with less stress and less pressure and less discontentment, we have to realize that one handful living is the best way to go about doing this. That one handful living is the best way to travel through this journey called life. But the question that we should ask every single week is this: if that's God's intention for our excess stuff, for our excess baggage in our lives, how do we do that? How do we take steps towards one handful living? And here's what I'm so jacked about this week, is that there could not be a more practical thing for us to talk about in preparation of what's about to happen 5 days from today. Of what's about to happen in your lives and your family over the course of the next week or 2 weeks, dependent upon how long your family is allowed to stretch out or how many family Christmases you have to go to and hit this year. That over the course of the next several days and several weeks of your life, that if we begin to get a stranglehold on this area, the baggage of excess stuff, and being able to let it go and step into one handful living, things could change drastically. Not just for this Christmas, but for every Christmas and every journey of your life from here forward. And the practicalness of today is this, is that I believe with all of my heart that there are three distinct steps, three practical steps that if we are willing to take them and take the courageous steps that break the mold and break the trends we have been living in, and we move towards those and take just little chunks out of them at a time, that in these three practical steps, we begin to live a life that is as God designed for us. A life that avoids the warning of King Solomon, that avoids the warning of Jesus, and it allows us to travel just a little bit lighter. It lightens your load and my load for an easier journey. But what it also does is this, is that as we enrich other people, and we become one handful living type of people, and we give away that other handful, or we stop trying to accumulate the second handful to have our hands full all the time, as we use that to enrich others, newsflash, it also enriches you. Our enrichment of others, our giving to others, our letting go of our excess stuff, actually enriches our lives. And so in order for us to begin to live in a one handful way, the first step that we must be willing to take is this. And I said this was going to be practical. That we must be willing to take the first courageous step of simply throwing out. We have to throw it out. And this step, it isn't about decluttering our houses. It's much bigger than that. This step is about de-owning. It's just simply about having less stuff, less baggage in our lives. We need to practice the act of simply throwing stuff away. But what you know and I know is this, is that for far too many of us, when we approach the trash can or the dumpster with anything in our lives that's been in our possession for a long amount of time, and we start thinking about the possibility of throwing these things away and they will never come back to us. Anybody else out there like start to break into cold sweats and you like start to quiver with the stuff in your hands? Like, I don't know if I can let go of this. And we wonder, man, why does that happen to us? You see, I believe that happens to us for two distinct reasons. The first is this, fear. We have this fear of throwing stuff out predicated on this belief. I might need it later. I don't want to throw it out because I might need that later. And what ends up happening is this. This is so crazy. In our lives with our excess stuff, we refrain from throwing it away because we start building regrets now for something that could possibly happen 5 years from now. And we start to play out these scenarios in our lives like, in 2030, what if I go to a 1990s themed Christmas party and I need that double-breasted red and green suit with my Looney Tunes tie that was popular in the 90s? And then I'll have this regret that I threw it away 10 years ago when I could be using it now. And when it comes to the more serious things in our lives, get rid of the funny things that we've been hanging on to, the serious things in our life, like the old car, the old 55-inch TV, because now we've upgraded to the 70-inch model. This fear really stokes in me when I look at it, and in the serious things of life, I hold on to them, and I don't want to get rid of them. You know what it really stokes in me? It stokes in me this lack of faith. That if there is a day of need in my future, I want to hang on to this so that I know I'll be safe, so that I'll be secure. And what it says is this, God, you provided that thing for me now, but I don't believe that you'll provide something new for me in the future if I'm in a time of need. But when we open up our hands and we say, it was useful for me then, but it's no longer useful for me, but it could be useful for somebody else. Somebody else could have their moment of need now, and they need that car. They could really use that thing. And we open up our hands of it and give it away. It's this step of faith. It isn't just about decluttering. It's about overcoming the fear and replacing it with faith that, God, you provided for me once, and 10 years from now, if I need something, I have a belief that you'll provide for me again, and I want to use what's no longer useful for me now to give it to somebody else. You see, there's a practical way, or maybe a couple practical ways for us to do this. How do you practice the act of getting rid of it, of throwing out the excess stuff? Well, first, maybe this is the most practical step this Christmas. Take the step of when you get one, get rid of one. When you get a new shirt, get rid of one. When you get a new pair of pants, get rid of one. When you get a new TV, get rid of one. And secondly, the second practical step that you can begin to practice this is, if you haven't used it in over a year, it's time to get rid of it. If it hasn't been useful in your household, to your family, in your marriage for at least the last year, it's gone. Practice the act of throwing it away. But not only do we have fear that battles against us in throwing it out and getting rid of the baggage that comes with excess stuff, but we also battle sentiment, right? Like, we want to hold on to things because we believe they have a sentimental place in our hearts and in our lives. To give you a glimpse into my life, I looked into my closet this week. I still have clothing in my closet that I will never wear in my life, that are button-up shirts that were my father's shirts. And you're saying, Ben, well, that's special. Your dad passed away. There is not a single special memory that is attached to my father's shirts. That maybe in my life and in my baggage and in my accumulation of excess stuff, it's just time to let those things go. Like, you still have the first tooth that your 40-year-old child lost when they were 3 years old. You're still hanging on to the first diaper your baby went doo-doo in. And I heard this incredible thing by this author. She wrote this book about letting go of things. And she said this, that when it comes to things that you think are sentimental in your life and getting rid of those things, what you need to do is you just need to have a session, and you need to take that thing and you need to sit down and you need to spend some time thanking it. Thank it for the purpose that it played in your life in that season. And once you spend some time doing that, then you are free to get rid of it. Let it go. Throw it away. And this step, it isn't just about throwing stuff away or throwing stuff in the dumpster. It could also just simply be the act of passing it on to somebody else. Recognizing that when I get rid of things and I give it to someone else who could really use it, here's what's crazy. That is an act of generosity. We always have this picture painted in our mind that generosity is about some giant monetary gift that we give to people. Generosity is also about the small things that we give away. It's the heart of blessing someone with something that you don't use anymore. And I love how Paul sets the table so perfectly for this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he writes this. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Stop making your decisions based upon a scarcity mindset. That's what Paul is saying when he says, don't give based upon what you don't have. Give based upon what you do. And know that when you give these things away, whatever you give is acceptable. Whatever you give is an act of generosity if you give it eagerly, knowing that, hey, I'm letting go of these things. I'm passing it on. I don't need it right now. Somebody else does need it right now. And that is an incredible way that I could be generous to the people in the world around me. And so we take the step. We pass it on. We take the step. We throw it away. It's had its moment to be a blessing to you, and now it's just baggage. Secondly, we take the step of buying less. And you're like, oh no, Ben, you went there 5 days before Christmas when all the gifts are already purchased. And I know maybe there's not a whole lot you can do about what's already done for this Christmas, aside from maybe returning some of the stuff. But maybe this changes the birthdays and the Christmases yet to come in your life and in your family. You see, typically in our lives, we buy because in the moment it makes us feel better. It makes us feel more significant. It makes us feel like we love our kids more. And so we buy and we buy and we buy because in the moment it makes us feel better. But here's the problem. When the high of that purchase wears off, and it's no longer giving us the high that our kids love that gift and they're playing with the box instead of the gift that we actually bought them, when the high of that purchase wears off, we fail to recognize that our belief that the purchase will give us a lasting sense of happiness and contentment was a lie. What we do is we start to believe, well, then maybe it's just moving on to the next thing. And so we buy something else. And that one doesn't last in happiness and contentment. And so we buy something else. And we just keep buying, buying, buying until that little plastic card in our wallet or our purse has racked up so much that we're making minimum payments for the next 10 years of our life trying to pay that darn thing off. You see, what if in our lives we recognized that we could travel lighter and have less excess stuff and baggage in our life that's holding us back if we just simply took the step of buying less? And I love David's perspective. I love his viewpoint on this. David, one of the richest, one of the most powerful kings to ever walk on this earth, as he looks at his stuff and this attraction towards accumulating more excess stuff and more excess wealth, this is what David prays. Check this out. This is so good in Psalm 119. Cause my heart to bow before your words of wisdom and not to the wealth of this world. Help me turn my eyes away from, and this is so good, from illusions so that I pursue only that which is true. God, help me. Help me to see that this chasing after two handfuls is just an illusion. And help me to focus on what's most important. Not the excess stuff, not the wealth of this world, that there are things that are far more important than that. A few years ago, before kids entered Krista and I's life, on the very last Christmas, and we're kind of sad we came up with this the very last Christmas before we had kids, that we weren't doing this for a whole lot longer, but we made the decision with our nieces and nephews as they continued to grow older. Y'all know this. It just keeps getting harder and harder to buy for them. And so we made this decision, instead of getting gifts that a year from now as they grow older or no longer popular or they no longer fit them, instead of wasting our money on those things and being disappointed when they're in the garage sale box the next year, what we were going to do was we were going to invest in experiences instead of stuff. And I look back on those moments, and they are some of the fondest moments with my nieces and nephew that I have had up to this point in my life. For one of my oldest nephews, we made the decision that we were going to buy Cavs tickets, and the Cavs weren't very good, and so it worked to our advantage. We got tickets in the Mercedes-Benz Club. And it was these box seats that had the buffets, all you can eat the entire game. You just keep going up and getting drinks and getting food as much as you want. And it doesn't cost you anything except for the price of your ticket. And to be able to drive to the games and hang out and experience that with my nephew was absolutely incredible. Maybe less so with my nieces, but still a lot of fun. It backed me into the corner of going to Disney on Ice, and we bought Disney on Ice for all of my nieces, and we took all of my young nieces to do that at the Schottenstein Center. And it was fun just to sit there and just to do that. But what would that look like if we began to implement that into our families, into the lives of our kids right here, right now? Because what I believe with all of my heart is this. As that the greatest memories of your life, they will not be the stuff received. It'll be the moment shared. The greatest memories of your life, of your marriage, of your parenting, will be the moments shared, not the stuff received. And so in light of that, we choose to buy less. And then third, we make the choice to give more. King Solomon writes this in Proverbs chapter 11. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. See, I want you to take a close look at what King Solomon says there. The generous will prosper. And when we read something like that, you know where my mind goes? My mind automatically goes to this. Oh, well, King Solomon is talking about monetarily, right? That if I'm generous with my excess stuff, if I'm generous with my money, then I will prosper monetarily. No, that's not what King Solomon says. In fact, he uses this last part of the passage to clarify what he means. And this is so great. He says, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Do you know what that means? It means that you in your life, in your journeys through life, experience the greatest refreshment when you give, not when you receive. When you give, not when you hang on to. See, I look back on my life and my marriage, and what I'm forced to recognize is this, is that when I look back on some of the greatest moments of my marriage, my parenting, my life, and some of the incredible memories that I have along that span, what I'm forced to recognize is this, is I look back on all of those different journeys in life, and I don't have any emotional getting memories. Like, I don't have any memories in my life that bring a tear to my eye that are like, oh my goodness, when I bought my kids that toy, it was the best day of my life. When I bought that giant TV, it finally defined me as a person. I have a lot of stories of buyer's remorse. Why did I do that? Why did I charge that? Why did I buy that? But I don't have a lot of emotional stories about getting. I also look back on the best moments of my life, and I don't have a lot of emotional stories about keeping. My life was changed when I decided to hang on to that 12-year-old car and allow it to keep rotting in my driveway, because someday my car could break down and we could use that one when the other one is broken down. I don't have any emotional stories about that. But yet I look back on my life and my marriage and the decisions that Krista and I have made that haven't necessarily been logical along the way, and what I see are countless emotional moments and incredible memories that revolve around giving moments. I still look back to when Krista and I first got married, and some of y'all have heard parts of this story before. When Krista and I first got married, she was heading into her senior year of college, and so she wasn't working yet. I was kind of just starting out in ministry. And I can still remember to this day the exact amount of take-home pay and every single paycheck. Twice a month, I would bring home $983. When you think about rent and utilities and two insurance payments and groceries and everything that a young adult life consists of, it doesn't go a long ways when you're bringing in less than $2,000 a month. And I still remember Krista and I sat down right after we got married, and we looked at my take-home pay and what was logical and what we thought we could afford. And we pushed all of that aside and we made this decision. That the first part of every single paycheck that we bring home will be a tithe. Will be a giving. And you wouldn't believe, as we looked at our finances and what didn't make sense and how we were going to keep the lights on every month, you wouldn't believe how difficult it was to go in and set up an automatic withdrawal for $99 every 2 weeks. How difficult that step was. And yet now, looking back on that moment and everything that came after it, and the moments where emergencies popped up and it was like, I don't know how we're going to make this work. I don't know how we're going to keep going. I don't know where the money was going to come from. And we look back and time again, somehow it always worked. Somehow the money was always there. It was this moment, this act of just giving it away, of giving more when it didn't make sense and it wasn't logical, that provided this emotional story in our lives that allows us to take continued steps of faith. There are countless stories of giving away kitchen tables and giving away cribs and giving away checks around the Christmas season to families that we love, that we knew were going through things in their life that weren't fair or didn't make sense, and they didn't know how they were going to afford them. And us, with what we had or the limited amount of what we had, were just like, we have to do this. We have to spontaneously just give this away and not think about it. The emotional moments that that provided, the decision that when we came back here, that for us, and this is just simply for us, that we looked at what we had and we decided, man, 10% isn't good enough. And so we want to become 1%ers. And every year that we remain here at Core, we want to add another percent to our giving. And the lack of excess, how illogical that feels sometimes. Making the decision that we wanted God to be most important in every area of our lives. And so that should be reflected in what we do with our stuff and our money. And we made the decision, man, that this has to be the biggest chunk every month. Even bigger than the house payments and everything that goes into the house with the property taxes and the insurance. I look back on all of those moments and this crazy thought came to my mind. This crazy thought that's driven home by Paul. What if we've been given what we have been given for the purpose of generosity? What if we, Ben and Krista, have been given what we have been given solely for the purpose of generosity? You see, Paul writes this, and I think this is so powerful in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Yes, you will be enriched in every way, so that you can have everything you always wanted. It's not what Paul says. He says you'll be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And this is so cool how he finishes it. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Here's what's so incredible. If you're a Christ follower, when you choose to give your stuff away, your excess stuff in your life, you are providing the opportunity for people to get a glimpse of God. That people can see God in that gift. That's the opportunity that awaits in our excess stuff. See, what I believe with all of my heart is that this holiday season is the season to start traveling lighter with less excess stuff, to realize it's far better to live with one handful in margin than with two handfuls and constantly chasing the wind. And a question that I believe with all of my heart could change the trajectory of our lives and the way in which we look at our excess stuff is this question. One that could rock your world as much as it rocks mine, but one that could change your Christmas and your journey as much as it can change mine. Are you accumulating on earth what you cannot keep? Or are you investing in heaven what you cannot lose? Are you accumulating on earth what you cannot keep? Or are you investing in heaven what you cannot lose? How do we answer that question the way we want? We throw it out. We buy less. We give more. That's the pathway to less baggage. That's the pathway to being refreshed. And my guess is that if your life and your circumstances are anything like mine, then in this particular Christmas, in this particular year, in this particular part of your journey, man, we could all use a little more refreshing. It happens when we see that that excess stuff is just baggage that we were meant to get rid of that helps us travel just a little bit lighter. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, God, we thank you for the ways in which, as Paul terms it, the ways in which you've enriched us. The things we have in our lives. And God, for every single one of us, we look into our past and we see moments, maybe it's not this particular moment, but we see moments in which we have accumulated excess stuff. And we failed to recognize that that excess stuff is only creating baggage in our lives, but it could be used to bless somebody else's. And so, God, this Christmas, may we take the courageous steps of recognizing that one handful with a little bit of margin is way better than two handfuls and constantly chasing after the wind. And may we live that out by throwing it away, by buying less, and by giving more. And in doing that, may we relish this opportunity to give people a glimpse of you. May we be serious in our pursuit. I'm tired of accumulating on earth what I cannot keep. I want to start investing in heaven what I cannot lose. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. See, we believe with all of our heart that in the entirety of this series, that God's design is for you and I to travel lighter. And some of that in our lives over the course of the next 5 days boils down to seeing our excess stuff as baggage that we don't need. And I believe that every single one of us have the potential in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it's just in small baby steps to start for all of us, but to take steps to let go of some of that and to walk this journey just a little bit lighter. Lastly, what I can promise you is this. This Christmas Eve, we're going to be talking about something that you and the people that you love and care about in your life do not want to miss. Thursday is a day that you have to make sure you are a part of Christmas at core. We want you here, and we believe with all of our hearts it has the potential to change your life and to change some people's eternities. Thanks so much for being with us at Core Online. We hope to see you soon.